Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alpar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alpar.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Alpar on a Friday, TGIF, March 3rd. 2023. Happy to have you along. Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer engineer on the board. As always, Mr. Zomers, a pleasant good morning to you, my friend.
And good morning to you too, Todd.
Thank you so very much. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. I will be unexpectedly in Manitowoc again this weekend.
Unexpected? Is everything okay? Or?
Yeah. Very good. I just forgot that I told one of my old family friends that I would play drums in their worship service at church this weekend.
Well, how cool is that?
It's fun. I don't get to play drums very often anymore, living in an apartment, so I'm glad for the chance.
Well, good for you. That's drumming on the weekend for Mr. Zomers, and so you'll be there for just a little bit. Could you say you'll be there for a Manitowoc minute?
I could say that I'd be there for a Manitowoc minute.
And if you want to hear more about Charlie Behrens, or you can hear him on the Cripes Cast across Civic Media Radio Network this weekend, correct?
Yeah, this Cripes Cast this weekend, because I listened to them ahead of time, make sure there's no naughty words, which this time there actually weren't, surprisingly, because it's a bunch of musicians.
Oh.
So it is Joey's Song, which is a charity organization that has a bunch of popular musicians. They put on a show, and the proceeds go to support research for helping childhood epilepsy.
Oh, nice.
So we got a whole bunch of people organizing it, and people who performed in the show this year talking about their experience. So it's a nice little group of shorter interviews this time.
Very cool. Charlie Behrens, of course, most people know him for the Manitowoc Minute, his kind of online presence and social media presence. He's a stand-up comic. He's an actor. He's a reporter. But he also has this really cool thing called the Cripes Cast, which is loosely a talk show meets a podcast, and sometimes it's funny comedians, and sometimes it's really cool, just community-driven things like Aaron was talking about this week. So high noon across the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturday or Sunday, as Charlie says, it's a horse apiece. Take your pick, and you can listen to Charlie Behrens' Cripes Cast this weekend. Also, on the big weekend programming, you've got Earl Ingram and The Grave Digger, and Under the Helmet with The Grave Digger. So you can check that out as well. I believe that's after Charlie Behrens and the Cripes Cast. And also this weekend on WRCO in Richland Center, Those Were the Days with our good friend Phil Nee. So check that out. If you haven't heard of it, the show yet, you can go on our app, the Civic Media app, and just type in Civic Media in your app store, and then go to other stations, scroll down to WRCO, Community and Country. So it's country most of the time, but on the weekend, some different programming. So Saturday night, 7 until midnight, you can check out Phil Nee and those. Actually, I think it's now 6 until midnight. Those were the days. The best of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s. All your oldie favorites. It kills me to say the 80s are now considered oldies, because I remember when they were newies or new music. But there it is. Speaking of Richland Center, our first guest coming up this hour is going to be Brady Ewing once again at our bi-weekly visit. Brady, of course, from Richland Center, and then went on to play football at the University of Wisconsin-Madison for 4 years, was a Big Ten champion for 3 years, and the senior year he was the captain of the University of Wisconsin Badger football team, and then went on to play 3 years in the NFL for Atlanta and Jacksonville, respectively, and he'll be joining us. Talk a little bit about what it's like to be cut. When you kind of, guys going through this time right now in the NFL as they prepare for the draft, and some people are going to be cut, some people won't. We'll talk to Brady about that. Also, I'll talk a little bit about last night's game, the Badger game, if you watched that at all. Wisconsin men, they hung in there, thought maybe they're going to pull it off, but number 5, Purdue, beat Wisconsin last night by a score of 63-61. The Badgers now go on the road to Minnesota. The Golden Gophers, who in a wild and wacky game right before the Badgers last night, they were the Gophers were down by 10 with just over a minute left to go, and they came back and won it on a buzzer beater 3-point play.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Beat Rutgers last night. So Wisconsin goes into the barn at Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers on Sunday. It is you know, an absolute must win at this point. And then Wisconsin's probably going to have to win at least a couple of games in the Big Ten tournament in order to make the big dance, the NCAA March Madness tournament. But, you know, it is possible. So we shall see. Otherwise, we also have in hour number three today, we've got, of course, Aaron Zomers and Board Game of the Week. We'll find out what Mr. Zomers has chosen for us a little bit later on. On hour number three, we'll also have Mimosa Friday, what we are thankful for, and raise a glass and give a cheer. So also taking your calls. Also going to talk about Jim Troupas. That name ring a bell? Jim Troupas. Many of you are going, who the heck is Jim Troupas? Well, I'm going to tell you. Coming up on the show, take your calls as well. This is a dude who is absolutely incestuously involved with the worst of the Republican Party. And the 4-3 conservative Supreme Court has reappointed Mr. Troupas to help oversee the judges of this state. Oh, and by the way, did I tell you? Jim Troupas also helped advise the fake electors committee. They helped, they tried to steal the votes from us in 2020. Really great guy. And also in some sad news in the southwest Wisconsin and across Wisconsin this morning, talking about the announcement that Energizer and Rayovac closing down their plant in Fenimore, Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin. Lots of folks are going to be without jobs there, so we'll get into that on the show as well. Come back, take a check of weather, and also what you need to know, your news headlines this morning. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour, 8 o'clock. Glad to have you on this Friday, last day of the work week for many people. At least if it's not the last day of your work week, then wish you good workings over the weekend. And perhaps your weekend is on Monday, Tuesday or something like that. I've had those kind of weekends, those kind of jobs where everybody else is off on a weekend and you're working. And that's not always the most fun, but still, you make the best of it. You're thankful you got a job. So if this is not on the verge of your weekend, we wish you well and thank you for whatever you are doing on this fine weekend. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have, of course, our check-in with weatherology. Kara Foster, our normal meteorologist, her birthday is today, so she is off. So we will have a pitch hitter calling us in for weatherology. Take a complete longer look at the forecast. Also at 8:30, Brady Ewing from Richland Center, former Badger football player, NFL player, joins us to talk a little bit about what it's like to be cut in the NFL and prepare for the draft. Also talk a little Badger basketball as well and whatever else we might want to think of. Two old guys from, he's not old, I'm older. But I was going to say two old dudes from Richland Center. How about one old dude and one young dude from Richland Center shooting the breeze together on the air. Always a pleasure to have Brady. He'll be here at 8:30. Here now is what you need to know at 16 past the hour of 8 o'clock, what you need to know for your Friday, the 3rd of February, 2023. Weather forecast for today from our weatherology weather service. First of all, in southwest Wisconsin, WRCE News from the center. Expect cloudy skies today, a high of 42. Then for tonight, decreasing clouds, a low of 25. Tomorrow, Saturday, going to be a little snowy in the morning, perhaps a chance of a flurry, and then kind of extending a little bit of snow into the afternoon. No major snow accumulations possible, really. It's really less than a half an inch, so shouldn't affect the roadways too much, but just be prepared for that. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, mostly cloudy today, a high of 38. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 22, and Saturday, going to be mostly cloudy in the morning, maybe some light snow showers moving in the afternoon, only about a 20% chance, again, less than a half an inch of rain, or pardon me, snow up in Wausau for tomorrow. Over in beautiful Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio, patchy fog this morning, so have the lights on and slow down a little bit if you are driving in northwest Wisconsin. Maybe you're going over the Twin Cities today or driving into the Amory area today for business, whatever you're going to do. Keep the lights on this morning. Going to be patchy fog. Sun will come out in Amory in the afternoon, or so says the forecast. A high of 37 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy. A low of 22. And Saturday, mostly cloudy. And a high of 34 degrees. Again, Weatherology checking in about 15 minutes with us with a complete weather forecast for your weekend across the state. News headlines, Alex Murdaugh, the 54-year-old disgraced South Carolina attorney whose trial garnered national attention, was found guilty yesterday of murdering his wife and son. After more than a month of listening to dozens of witnesses, jurors took less than 3 hours to convict Murdaugh on all four counts that he was facing. Two counts of murder and two counts of possession of a weapon in the commission of a violent crime. Murdaugh kept a stony face when the verdicts were read, while his only remaining son could be seen wiping tears from his eyes. The verdict came after a six-week trial revealed shocking details involving brutal gore, extensive financial wrongdoing, and the defendant's own lies. Murdaugh was scheduled to be sentenced this morning. Prince Harry and Meghan have been asked to vacate the residence gifted to them by the late Queen Elizabeth II. Quote, we can confirm the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have been requested to vacate the residence at Frogmore Cottage, unquote, the spokesperson said of the couple. The statement followed a report in the British newspaper The Sun that claimed the pair were being evicted from the property, which is owned by the Crown Estate, and that has since been offered to Prince Andrew, one of King Charles III's brothers. According to The Sun, the couple was reportedly asked to leave the property days after the release of Harry's memoir, Spare, back in January. The book features a litany of rebukes, criticism, and grievances from his time as a senior member of the royal family. I don't know about that. I mean, you get a nice present for your grandma. I mean, should your uncle take it back from you? I don't care whether it's
the answer is no.
You know, whether it's a house or not. You know, I think Harry and Meghan have gotten a raw end of the deal. I think they were bullied by their own family members. And now it's the revenge of the king, of King Charles, over there in Britain. But I think, you know, Harry and Meghan are doing just fine. They got a big Netflix deal. I think they're happier than ever. That's my opinion. Well, if you want to call in, give us a call. Royal Watchers, tell us what you think. Number is 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. Give us a call.
I'll give you my two cents on the
please
royal
do.
Family.
Yeah, please do.
I could not care less about them.
And a lot of people are saying, me too. Me too. I get it. I get it. It's just, you know, we don't have a king and queen over here. So, you know, it's you know, sometimes a little royal news is entertainment.
I also definitely understand why it can be interesting.
Your sentiment is shared by a lot of people. I know that for a fact. Sorry about that. I had to take a drink. And remember, as David Letterman likes to say, anytime you hear me, your radio host, taking a drink of a nice beverage, it's a great opportunity for you, the home listener, to enjoy a nice beverage of your own. So please, go right ahead. By the way, Mr. Sommers, got a lot of great feedback yesterday on the whole banana song thing. In fact, our boss, Mike Crute, was listening on the way up north as he was checking out some of the new properties in Arkansas. in Eau Claire. And Crute called and said that was fantastic. He loved it.
So good.
The banana song, not only with our listeners, but also with our bosses. The banana song was fantastic. So if you want to talk about the banana song or weigh in on your favorite royal, give us a call. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Won't cost you a dime. More news now. Tennessee, Rocky Top, has become the first state this year to restrict drag show performances. Republican Governor Bill Lee signed the bill into law Thursday to limit adult cabaret performances on public property so as to shield them from the view of children, threatening visitors with a misdemeanor, or probably threatening violators with a misdemeanor, and repeat offenders with a felony. The Tennessee measure is the first of nearly a dozen such bills presently working their way through GOP-led state legislatures. Republicans say the performances expose children to sexual themes and images that are inappropriate, a claim rejected by advocates who say the proposed measure are discriminatory against the LGBTQ community and could violate First Amendment laws.
Just don't bring your kid to a drag show if you don't want your kid at a drag show. Easy.
The law is set to go into effect on July 1st. Well, here's the deal. And in fairness, I've been around drag queens, but I've never actually been to a drag show proper. But it's cabaret. You understand? It's a musical, essentially. It's costumes. There's nothing, you know, there's no stripping, there's no striptease at a drag show. In fact, most of these women go to great lengths to make themselves beautiful. And if there's lots of costuming, there's gowns. There's no striptease.
Yeah, I've been to a few drag shows, and I can definitely say none of them that I've been to have been untoward.
Right.
And some of the songs they sang were.
And the great thing is, because I don't want to misspeak and say something's wrong. It's either this guy who's governor in Tennessee, or there's another goofball in, I think, Missouri, who's introducing these bills. And now there's photos surfacing of them in high school and college in drag, in dresses. And of course, well, that's completely different. Really? How? I mean, there are laws, as Aaron. You can't, nor should you, take your younger kid into a strip club up in northern Wisconsin. By the way, if you're for limiting drag shows, then why isn't Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu, the Speaker of the Republican in the House or in the Assembly in Madison here in Wisconsin, why aren't the Wisconsin Republicans offering bills to outlaw striptease shows and strip clubs in northern Wisconsin? I mean, they're all over Wisconsin. Why do we, you know, if it's good for the goose, it's good for a gander. And let me tell you, if you ever had a goose or a gander, but thank you very much. But I'm serious. If you really wanted to say, okay, we can't have drag shows, then why do we have strip clubs? That's my only question. And boy, can I tell you a story about Brian Schimming in a northern Wisconsin strip club. But that's a story for another day. Moving on. Democratic senators are urging Meta not to market its Metaverse app to teens between the ages of 13 and 17, arguing the technology could harm young users' physical and mental health. The lawmakers, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey and Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal, wrote a letter to company CEO Mark Zuckerberg, citing concerns around teens joining digital communication through the use of virtual reality headsets. Quote, your plan to imminently pull these young people into an under-researched, potentially dangerous virtual realm with consequences for their physical and mental health is unacceptable, they wrote. The calls for caution come as social media platforms have faced years of scrutiny over their impact on young users, including their potential to lead teens down harmful rabbit holes. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I see it both ways. I think you got to get out. I played Atari when I was growing up, you know, for maybe an hour or two. But I also spent 2 hours, 3 hours a day outside in the neighborhood playing hide and go seek in the woods with the other neighbor kids. So I think it's got to be a balance, right? I think these, you know, young people that sit all day on a device, like all day, I don't think that's particularly good for anybody. But
yeah, it's definitely not.
Anyway, Greece, protesters are clashing with police in the capital of Athens as new details emerge about the fatal train collision that killed at least 57 people in central Greece on Tuesday. Authorities released audio in which a train driver involved in one of the country's worst train crashes of recent years was told to ignore a red light. In the wake of the tragedy, a train station master has been charged with the mass deaths through negligence and causing grievous bodily harm through negligence. Breaking news this morning, a vital bridge connecting the besieged Ukraine city of Bakhmut to the nearby village has been blown up overnight by Russian forces, according to multiple sources speaking with CNN this morning. The bridge was hit by a Russian missile and left a large crater, according to the soldier who added that he believes it was a missile who did the damage. In memoriam this morning, Wayne Shorter, a Grammy-winning saxophonist and composer who helped shape the sound of contemporary jazz, has died, according to his publicist. Wayne Shorter was 89 years old and was nominated for 23 Grammy Awards during his career and won 12 times. And 15, that's how many feet of snow there is in parts of Yosemite National Park, resulting in a full park closure. Numerous other national parks in California were forced to close, either fully or partially, following the recent storms. 15 feet of snow, Mr. Zalmerts.
Couple, 2-3 feet there.
Hey, breaking news. Spring in Yosemite is going to be late this year. Never late. Brady Ewing coming up next. Stay with us on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is 8:30 on the Civic Media Radio Network, actually 8:33 to be precise. And we'll play it again on Monday, but this is a birthday wish going out to our normal meteorologist, Kara Foster, who is usually with us here on the 8:30 hour to bring us the weather forecast. It's her birthday, though, today. And so they've given her the day off there. And so in lieu of the birthday girl, Kara Foster, we have Michael is in with us from Weatherology this morning. Michael, thanks for filling in. Did Kara leave you any cake there at the Weatherology studios?
No, she didn't. I'm kind of disappointed.
What the heck? Well, we'll hold her to it maybe on Monday. But we appreciate sure. You filling in for us. And looks like at least not too bad of a weekend. Maybe a little bit of a system coming in overnight into tomorrow. But tell folks at Amory, Wausau, Richland Center, if you'd be so very kind, what we can expect for our fine weekend across Wisconsin today.
Indeed, our temperatures are looking to run a bit above average for early March over the next few days. And yeah, that system, that very weak disturbance headed on in from the west for later on tonight into your Saturday, not amounting to all that much. Maybe some flurries and some light sprinkle activity mixed in from time to time there for tomorrow, but that's about it. Our next better chance for some accumulating snowfall, especially for the northern half of Wisconsin, looking to hold off until later into the day on Sunday night and even into your Monday. But until then, staying fairly quiet out there first for today. I think clouds will be thickest across the southern half of the state. We could maybe see a few peaks of sunshine, areas like Wausau over to near Amory by this afternoon, but those high temperatures across the state are looking to range from the middle to upper 30s for the northern half of the state, but some lower 40s areas like Richland Center over to near Madison and Milwaukee by this afternoon. Then as we head into the night tonight, just stuck with some cloud cover, could have a little bit of some patchy fog developing overnight as winds stay fairly calm out there. Overnight low temperatures looking to drop back into the teens from Wausau points off to the north. Amory sticking closer to the lower 20s and some upper 20s across the southern half of the state for tonight. And then into the day on Saturday, a weak upper level disturbance does look to touch off some light flurry activity, but then mixing with some drizzle by the afternoon. Not expecting any snow accumulations though there for your Saturday. Still above average with high temperatures working up to around the upper 30s for areas like Amory, but some lower 40s down to near Richland Center on your Saturday. Sunday, a stronger area of low pressure looks to work northeastward out of the central plains, bringing a chance for a late-day rain-snow mixture, especially into western portions of the state. Sunday's high temperatures, though, still quite mild for this time of year, even approaching that 40-degree mark as far north as Eau Claire over to near Wausau, mid-40s for southern portions of Wisconsin, and then that accumulating snowfall expected there for Sunday night. Areas like Amory could pick up maybe around an inch or two of snow accumulation, likewise for Wausau, some higher totals and points off to the north from there, and then across southern portions of Wisconsin looking to stay as predominantly rain. Monday, still that chance for a rain-snow mixture, especially across the northern half of the state. Still looking as mainly rain across southern Wisconsin as high temperatures work up well into the 40s for the southern half of the state, more like the upper 30s from Wausau over to near Amory.
All right, sounds good. Any big plans for you, Michael, over the weekend? Just got to chill out.
I have to work on Sunday tomorrow, right. Hopefully getting out. I got some Christmas gift cards to use up at a few local restaurants. So hopefully getting out a chance to not have to cook for a change.
And weather not too bad. I mean, we could have a foot of snow and 25 degrees, so we can't complain.
Yeah, it could be worse. And, of course, we still got a lot of March in Wisconsin to get through here. Anything can happen.
All right. Thanks so much, Michael. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Thank you very much. So Michael from Weatherology this morning, filling in for Kara, or Cara, who is on a little vacation today due to her birthday. Never on vacation. Always working for the people. Keeping his ear to the sports wires, our good friend Brady Ewing from Richland Center. He joins us now via the telephone from live from the RC. Mr. Ewing, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great. You had me confused there with the birthday song. I thought I had a new walk-up song there. Or maybe I forgot my own birthday. So thanks for keeping me on my toes.
Well, we try. No, it's our weather person's birthday today, so we're trying to do that a little bit.
That's awesome.
But now this is 8:30 as we have weather now, so we gotta figure this out. We'll have to have your walk-up song after weather. We'll work on the structure of that a little bit.
We can just use it during the commercial break.
Okay, all right.
That's fine.
Fair enough.
I'll let it slide.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. well, Brady, I'm not sure, did you stay up last long? Wasn't that late, I guess, but oh my gosh. The Badgers, Brady. The Badgers. Did you watch the basketball game last night? Just heartbreak. 63-61, number 5 Purdue takes down Bucky at the Kohl Center. Once again, they had this game in hand, or at least they gave themselves a great chance, and the last couple of minutes they just let it slip away.
Yeah, another close game, another barn burner, so to say, and Bucky falling short again. I'm encouraged to see Tyler Wall look like he was back to his self a little bit, coming off the ankle injury many weeks ago. He's been playing for a while, but I liked how they brought in some fresh guys early in the second half, or in the first half, excuse me.
Yeah,
Lindsey brought a big spike of energy. I think he had 8 or 9 points there at a short run.
Was that great?
But, yeah.
I mean, he's from Mineral Point. I mean, a local Southwest Wisconsin boy doing well once again for the Badgers.
Exactly. Yeah, Brandon, my brother, and I were texting a little bit about him, and he said he's the purest shooter that he's ever seen in person.
Really?
Through his playing days. So I said, even better than the Baron Brooks from the Spring Green area. Yeah. There were some great shooters, and he said, absolutely. But sorry, I'm trying to focus on the positives, but at the end of the day, tough loss. And that's been kind of the MO all year, is a lot of close games and just can't find a way to finish and get the win down the stretch. And they pulled out a tactic on us. They were following us towards the end and not allowing us to get any three-pointers off so that they could just keep that lead and keep chipping away. And luckily they made some free throws. So entertaining game.
No, it was.
Today you got to get wins. And it'll be interesting to see how the Big Ten tournament, how they roll into the Big Ten tournament, and if they can bolster their resume up enough to try to make the NCAA tournament.
I follow Ben Wargle on Twitter, and he tweeted this out last night. This is both interesting and devastating if you're a Badger fan. The Badgers have finished 5-5 at home in Big Ten play this year. UW's five losses at home by a combined 19 points, or 3.8 points per game. Lost to Michigan State 65-69, Illinois 51-61, but Northwestern 52-54, Rutgers 57-58, and Purdue 61-63. So, think of seasons past. In the past, the Badgers have won those really close games by five points or less. They're still young. Yeah, I think we've got to remember that. They're still a fairly young team, and they're going to continue to grow. But boy, it's tough. By all bracketologists, the Badgers were already kind of the last four in on the bubble. Mm-hmm. That loss did not help. Basically, they got to win Sunday against the Gophers up at Minnesota. Did you watch the end of that game last night? The Gophers were down like 10 with a minute 6, and they came back and beat Rutgers at the buzzer. I couldn't believe that.
Man, there's been some crazy finishes in the Big Ten here the last couple of weeks. And I don't know what they were reviewing so long last year on the Minnesota win, but that was an unbelievable stretch of events down to the wire there, and a great shot at the buzzer to win, and kind of delayed my getting to watch the Badger game starting, but it but it was entertaining nonetheless. And I know Iowa had a game similar to that a week or two ago.
Yep.
Actually, was that against Purdue too?
I think so.
where they beat them or came back down the stretch. I forget who they were playing, but it's just a lot of entertaining games. Obviously, the Big Ten, I think, is the premier conference in college basketball right now. So even a team like Purdue that's ranked fifth in the country, I believe it has, four or five losses in the Big Ten conference this year. Well, so super competitive, and you think back of the expectations of the Badgers going into the season, were pretty low. Not that that matters, that the team is necessarily thinking of that, but you got to remember, what type of expectations we have. We do have a young team, and they're competing and learning week in and week out in the best conference in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to watch them. And of course, if they get the win against Minnesota on the road on Sunday, they win a couple of games. The NCAA, in the Big Ten tournament in Chicago, still a chance. They could sneak into the NCAA tournament. They don't have necessarily a bad resume. They've gotten some big wins, but of course, a couple of tough losses. So we shall see. We'll wish Bucky good luck. Marquette, as a Badger fan, Brady, it's a little hard to cheer for Marquette, but I'm happy for the folks in Milwaukee and like our station in Wausau, WXCO. Yeah. That we carry Marquette basketball. So for all those Marquette basketball fans, congratulations. They and Coach Shaka Smart sealed up the Big East champions, and Marquette was expected not to do all that great in the Big East, and they come away Big East champions. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I thought they had a pretty young team and lower expectations this year, but Shaka Smart has a great resume of putting good product out there. Obviously, they got some good young talent, so... They're fun to watch. They're an athletic group. They play hard, and obviously competitive all year. So that's great to see.
Absolutely.
Good for the state. Yeah. Not so good when they're playing the Badgers.
Right. But the Badgers beat them this year. I mean, that's the thing, right?
That's right.
I mean, here's Marquette. What are they? They're in the top 10 right now, I think. And the Badgers beat them. So we just got to be more consistent. I think that's the key.
You look back to the beginning of the year, and they came out hot. We're ranked pretty high. So
yeah, well, I think we're up at 9 or 10 in the country. They lost to Kansas by 2, Wake Forest by 2. Anyway, football is a game of inches. Of basketball, it's a game of minutes, I guess, or seconds at the end of the game.
That's right.
One thing that has remained consistent is the goofiness of Aaron Rodgers. He has gone into his recluse. He's gone into his dark room. He has emerged. He has not talking to anyone. Aaron Rodgers not telling us.
He's
back, but is he back? All the speculation, Brady, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I still maintain there are 59 million reasons he's going to play for the Green Bay Packers this year in the terms of $59 million, which is his contract, if he comes back. Do you think anything's really changed?
I don't think so. Maybe he's got some clarity. I know there's been some drama around Brandon, I'm blanking on his last name, but he tweeted something out about congratulating Aaron Rodgers on his retirement. So continues to be some surprises here and there. And I guess time will tell on, what his decision is, what the Packers' decision is. And, it's interesting, just there's never a dull moment in football, whether it's the season going on or whether it's the combine or the Senior Bowl, there's always something to talk about, and there's been a lot of off-season moves here lately, and some that have shaken the football world up a little bit. So Aaron Rodgers will do the same as he comes out with his decision and the Packers as well.
That's a great transition. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things. We always hear about the big contracts and when people get signed and everything. Lesser covered is when guys get cut. And we've talked about this before. Football, particularly in the NFL, is a business. You spent 4 years playing for the Badgers, a captain your last year, three-time Big Ten champion, went on, got drafted in the NFL, played two seasons for Atlanta, and then played a season at Jacksonville. But if you don't mind, share a little bit about what it's like when you do get cut or by a team, you have to transition over. What's that process like? We have a couple of minutes now. We'll take a break and then finish up with it. But start us down the path of what that's like, Brady.
Sure. Yeah, I think it depends what time of year you're cut. In my specific instance, it was after my second year with the Falcons, I was cut or released for the first time. And what that looked like for me is I was up in Wisconsin training, rehabbing shoulder surgery. And, actually was at NX level in Waukesha working out and came out of my workout, looked at my phone and had a voicemail from a Georgia number. Didn't think much of it. Figured it was, you know, the dentist office calling or something like that. But checked my voicemail. It was Coach Smith from the Falcons, the head coach at the time, just leaving me a message saying they wanted to talk with me and had a few things to talk about and touch base and give them a call back when I had a second. So didn't think that was the best news in the world. I forget when exactly it was, but about this time of year, honestly. So gave him a call back, and he looped in the general manager, Thomas Dimitroff, and they just thanked me for the previous 2 years and said that it was time to move on with, you know, some of the injuries I'd had and where they're going as far as the direction of the team. And so it's pretty cordial from that perspective. And but still kind of a surprise and rocked my world.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that's like. And we'll pick up with Brady Ewing after the break here, talk about a little bit more about the things we don't hear in the NFL and professional sports. That's when you have to change a team. Back with more with Brady Ewing. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is 8:50 on a Friday, the 3rd of February, 2023. Glad to have you along with us on a Friday. Every other Friday, that means our conversation with our friend and expert on sports, NFL, and all-knowing guru of knowledge, Brady Ewing. That's a pretty good title, right?
Wow.
That's a pretty good title.
That's aggressive. I don't know if I'd say all-knowing sports guru.
Yeah,
all that,
I would think so.
I don't
know any other professional sports people out there. I can't have a beer with the professionals in any other sport. I'm not friends with Christian Yelich or anything like that. You know, so
me neither. But really, I appreciate.
So like in any of your travels, have you ever? I mean, I know you know a lot of guys in the league. I mean, you played with J.J. Watt and Melvin Gordon and Monty Ball, the list continues on the NFL side. But have you ever had a chance to come in contact with any of like Major League Baseball players or NBA guys? I mean, do you know anybody? Like, I'm not asking you to give secret friendships, but I mean, have you ever just talked to other people in other professional sports league to kind of compare notes?
Not a ton, honestly. Just guys more that I knew from UW my time there, or have bumped into at different events through the years.
Right.
So it's always cool to see, each, professional athlete has a different skill set and a different sport that they play, but a lot of the same common denominators always seem to ring true, from the discipline to the work ethic to taking care of your body, investing in yourself and your team and going on a journey each year, whether it's, baseball and the journey they go on for many, many games and many months, or, football. So it's always cool. I always enjoy the perspectives and hearing guys' feedback. So I've been fortunate to have some of those conversations through the years, for sure.
I think it just is a good reminder. I mean, conversations like we're having this morning, we watch people on TV, whether it's NFL on Sundays or Thursdays or Monday, whatever it might happen to be, or you watch any professional athlete and you think, well, my gosh, I mean, they're just fantastic and they must have their lives all together and everything's perfect and they never pay attention to what's going on in social media. But then you know somebody, like I'm fortunate enough to know you, and you're the same guy that I knew when you were back in high school. I mean, you have a level ahead. You're a great person. I don't think your success in sports changed you from who you are as a person. That doesn't happen to everybody. Some people do get changed. But I think it's important to remember when we watch these people on TV, at the end of the day, they're just humans, right? I mean, they all put their pants on one leg at a time, and everybody has feelings. And, it is a job. Just like, all of us go to different jobs. Working in professional sports is a job.
It is. And no doubt there's that, public involvement and speculation, and you're on a platform and, some guys are more thankful than that for others, but it's been, and just like you can get fired, kind of bringing the other conversation we were having full circle at a normal job, a little bit more publicity around getting cut or quote unquote fired in the NFL or in professional athletics.
So when, and, when, um, But when we're talking about to kind of finish up this conversation we're having before the break, so we were talking about DeBrady, about who played for Atlanta for a couple of years and then played for Jacksonville, so 3 years in the NFL league. And so you get this phone call, you're in Wisconsin, you're working out, you get a phone call from the coach, you loop in the general manager, and they basically say, hey, thanks, it's been great, but we're moving on. You know, just kind of out of the blue, that has to be kind of, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily, maybe I'm just, because I'm not in that profession, but to me, that seems like different than being quote-unquote fired, because it's not like you did something wrong or you weren't working hard enough. I mean, in your case, you'd gotten some you were pretty darn healthy for 4 years in college, and then you just got some super bad luck with injuries when you went to Atlanta. And so not so much you got fired, but it's a business decision. So you get the phone call, and how is that different from a waiver wire, and kind of walk us through that process?
Yeah, so as a professional athlete, I guess, you know that day's coming. You know, everybody, rarely spends most of their career on one team. So got that call myself, and it's like, okay, I didn't really understand what the process looked like. So my first call was to Rachel and family, quick to let them know what was going on, but then shortly thereafter talking to my agent. Mm. And it's like, okay, what does this process look like, over the next couple of days? What's next? All of that. And so, after you're released, you go on the waiver wire, and teams have the ability to pick you up with the same contract terms that you had with your initial team. So that's like a 24-hour waiting period. And multiple teams can actually put in a waiver claim for you in your contract. And the one with the highest ranking waiver claim order, and I don't exactly know how that works. It has something to do with where you finished in the league rankings the previous year, and things like that, but whoever has the highest, ranking gets to claim you. So fortunate enough, Jacksonville claimed me and gave me the opportunity to go down there, do my physical, make sure I was, healthy enough to their standards. And, they do put some contract language in there for previous injuries that you've sustained and things like that. But it was, it was interesting because actually the general manager down in Jacksonville was the director of player personnel in Atlanta when I got drafted in Atlanta. So he was very familiar with me. He was a big part of me getting drafted to Atlanta. And so shortly after the news came out that I was claimed off waivers by Jacksonville, was able to talk with the staff down in Jacksonville and get that perspective and that background. And, they were a super young team at the time, and they were excited to have somebody with a little bit of tenure to kind of come in and be a locker room guy and contribute on special teams. So it was an awesome fresh start, and was excited to get down there, but definitely continued to have a roller coaster ride to get to that point. It was interesting to experience for sure, to be on the other side of it, not just looking from the outside in at other people that you've seen get cut or claimed in the past. So.
Well, I think, if nothing else, what a wonderful educational experience, right? It's just like go through that. Like you say, it gives you a perspective that very few people ever have.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, I was, that was my fear when I tore my ACL the first time. I didn't even know at that time how the injured reserve worked and how, technically when you're injured, you can't get cut from the team without some sort of an injury settlement, things like that. So, that was the first thing that went through my head when I tore my ACL my rookie year with Atlanta, the third or fourth play that I was out there on special teams was, oh man, I'm going to get cut. That was literally one of the first things that ran through my head, which probably isn't a healthy thing.
No, but it's realistic, right?
It's realistic, right? I mean, you're a rookie coming in, you're trying to make a squad, you're trying to prove yourself, and sometimes the best ability, as cliche as it sounds, you hear this saying, is reliability, the ability to be out there, dependability, to be out on the field, to be healthy. And, that was in question from, my first preseason game in Atlanta and, kind of created a mental stigma in my head that I was battling throughout my NFL career of, trying to stay healthy, trying to make the most of the opportunity, which, I think put a lot of stress on myself.
Brady Ewing, former NFL player, former Badger football player as well. We appreciate you live from Richland Center. Thanks for giving us a glimpse into the inside process of what it's like. Have a great week, my friend. We'll talk to you in a couple Fridays.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Yep. Have a good one. Thank you, Brady. Take care. Brady Ewing, stay with us.